Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by healthcare organizations. Our mission is to help these organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air each week to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
And good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Fran Horner. I'm the co-founder of Cingala Consulting and today's host of Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audiences our experiences and the experiences of our guests on demand through our website and downloaded through iTunes. So today's topic is the art of the possible. And, you know, it's no secret when it comes to customer satisfaction, healthcare lags behind other industries. You know, patients have resigned themselves to feelings of frustration and confusion as they navigate healthcare, either trying to find care, access care, or manage their care. And this has a lot of us in the industry just shaking our heads and asking why. You know, clearly, the technology exists to make life easier for the patient. And today, we want to focus on an exciting company out of Bloomington, Minnesota, that isn't just waiting for someone to start making groundbreaking developments in the world of healthcare today. They're really doing it. EvTech's created the motto, "The Art of the Possible," and it strives to deliver products for organizations across all industries. And I love their mission that states, you know, they're there to help eliminate poor customer experiences, and who among us doesn't applaud that? So today I'd like to introduce George Simu. He's the president and CEO of EvTech. He joins us today to talk about opportunities in healthcare to wow the patient and improve the delivery of service, you know, across the entire patient journey. You know, George promotes his company's focus on technologies in the collaboration, mobility, contact center, and customer relationship management space. And EvTech has been recognized in recent years as a Microsoft Cloud Partner of the Year, of 50 most promising IT companies by CIO Magazine, and an Interactive Think IT Product of the Year Award. You know, this is among many other awards. Before EvTech, George was the president and CEO of Transcend Communications and the owner and CEO of Data Accessories. Altogether, George has worked in the industry for over 25 years and runs companies in the contact center and consulting services for the last 18. And without further ado, let me welcome George to the show. And George, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, you're welcome, Fran. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure. You know, I think the thing that really caught me was this idea and this phrase, the art of the possible. What does that mean for healthcare specifically, George?
Yeah, so what, you know, we do a lot of different things. You mentioned it earlier in your intro. You know, we've always been relatively a horizontal company, really developing customer experience, patient experience applications across all different industries. And I think when we were introduced here just what a week ago, you know, I explained that about 7 years ago, we really started to get pulled into healthcare, almost to a point where some of the healthcare companies we started working with were like, well, where have you been? You know, this is something that we've been looking for. And so, you know, over the last 7-8 years, we've developed a lot of different applications in the healthcare industry. And so now we have a phrase called the art of the possible, which just, it's basically a presentation that we can go to different healthcare organizations and show them some of the things that we're developing, you know, across the industry. You know, it's my philosophy that we want to build something, but then we want to make that available to many, so that we can leverage innovation. And that's really what, you know, this is all about, is showing and sharing with organizations the things that are possible that, again, we've just kind of stumbled across throughout the years of working with very innovative and progressive healthcare organizations.
Well, you know, you and I talked previous to this about some exciting healthcare products that you're developing, and one of them that really caught my attention was that video kiosk. Tell me more about that.
Sure. So this, again, was a company that there was a company that came to a seminar we had that was really talking about customer experience, kind of the broad brush customer experience. You mentioned journey, you know, talking about persona idea, journey mapping, channel gap analysis. And when we talk about those gaps in the channel, we talk about the different ways customers want to interact with us, not just in person, but all the other ways, which are usually the means that most people interact with multi-million and billion-dollar companies today. And one of the gaps that we talked about was video. And we had developed originally for Exxon and a few other organizations an application called Video Kiosk that would provide them the ability to interact more efficiently with different departments across the world, or, you know, having a virtual receptionist through this kiosk application we developed. And when we were showing some of these technologies, a company called Emergent Medical Associates, also known as Language Access Networks, their CIO was in the audience and afterwards struck up a conversation with us about this application and, you know, asked, could it be used in this manner? And we were like, yeah, we could do that. So after we talked to them about what they were trying to accomplish, Language Access Networks is a very progressive company that does language interpreter services for the healthcare industry. And they've built a separate business called CareNection that has connectivity to about 500, you know, different hospitals and clinics across the country, each a different organization, I may add. And they have three contact centers with interpreters that they provide these services for. So they had been working for about 2.5-3 years with a pretty major player to develop kind of a next-generation application, which would allow video translation services, but really intelligent services. So we work with them to design, architect, and develop an application that when a physician walks into a waiting room, for an example, and they have a Hmong-speaking patient, let's just say, that has leukemia, they need to provide that prognosis. So they can either use any standards-based endpoint, whether it's an iPhone, an Android, any type of tablet, and they can enter Hmong-speaking, leukemia, hit enter, And we take that video object and we build rules around it and we send it out to these three contact centers and we say, okay, I've got 8 Hmong-speaking agents available, 2 with a background in leukemia and 1 with a background in chronic leukemia. Bam, there she is right on the tablet to be able to perform this translation service with the patient. And what they've done is they've also put out what they call MARTI units. They have about 5,000 of these MARTI units, which is a flat panel monitor in these waiting rooms. And MARTI stands for My Accessible Real-Time Trusted Interpreter. And so once the doctor provides, the physician provides that prognosis, that translator is transferred or resides on that MARTI unit. And if the patient has to go for an X-ray or a blood transfusion or any care after that initial session with the physician, that MARTI unit comes off the stand and we've designed a bracket for the bed and the translator stays with the patient, mounts on the bed as they go to the next part of the hospital and continues to be the interpreter throughout the process, delivering just an outstanding patient experience. And that syncs up with the wireless network of the hospital to again keep that interpreter, you know, along the ride for the patient journey. So that's one application that we've developed in conjunction with, again, this very progressive company that has gotten just a lot of rave reviews. Several of their customers have talked about the application has increased physician efficiency by over 400%. They have all sorts of just tremendous case studies of the tremendous patient experience and the efficiencies it brings these types of scenarios to the physician, making them much more efficient. So that's just an example of one of the applications that we help develop and co-own with that organization.
Which is exactly why I asked you to join us on the show, because I know our audience is so interested in these innovative solutions, especially one that really facilitates a full understanding through spoken and visual communication for the limited English proficient and the deaf and hard of hearing. For me, I think the real value of video is that ability to reduce the risk of misunderstanding by capturing body language and facial expressions. All of those read into visual cues. It's so important. You know,
we're a visual society, right?
Of course.
It's real important. And you know what's interesting about this, Fran? I haven't mentioned this to you before, but what they're seeing now is a lot of these customers or hospitals now want to use the technology in areas we didn't even think about. So one of the very popular areas is the labor and delivery departments are wanting this technology, so that and maybe not even having maybe there is an interpreter situation, but just to be able to provide the ability to have video interaction with grandparents overseas or extended family members. It's kind of catching fire, you know, across the hospital and healthcare organizations they do business with is a really differentiator from an application perspective and the way patients want to interact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like any emerging technology that enables greater communication, better understanding, you know, everybody's just going to jump on it. You know, we've been talking a lot about telemedicine, and at the last CES Digital Health Summit, Dr. Phil, who, by the way, I do follow, he highlighted how telemedicine must play a greater role in providing mental health care, or he calls it telemental health. And, you know, I really agree with his comments that it's hard to make that first appointment, and it's even harder to keep it because there still is a stigma when it comes to mental health. And telemedicine is one of those things that I think is going to really emerge to help people get past that hurdle. So let's switch gears a little and talk a little bit about behavioral health assessments. You know, used appropriately as part of a broader assessment, I think screening tools are so key to give clinicians that common language and the ability to consistently approach and look for presence or absence of a disorder to help patients really receive, you know, the effective treatment that they need. So tell me more about what you're seeing in the advancement of behavioral health assessment tools in particular.
Yeah, and again, I'd like to take a lot of credit as AvTechs for a lot of the thought leadership around this, but really we, again, just have been fortunate to partner with great customers that have great ideas that we can help them realize. And one of those was a company called Behavioral Healthcare Providers based here in Minnesota. They're actually part of the Fairview Healthcare System, which is a very reputable healthcare system here in Minnesota. And so close to seven years ago, they came to us with a concept. They were having a real challenge, an issue with being able to handle behavioral health situations in emergency rooms. And they wanted to build a tool that was standardized across their whole health system that provided a next-generation assessment of behavioral health patients that come into the emergency room. So we developed that application, and over the years have just continued to make it better and more efficient. And we just redesign that tool to be cloud-based, so to speak, so that it can have more rapid rollout, not just with Fairview, but their vision is to have it, you know, a lot of hospitals and clinics around the country be able to leverage this great innovation. So what it does, Fran, is it if a patient comes into emergency room today, let's just step back. If a behavioral health patient comes into emergency rooms today, it's a real challenge across the country for healthcare organizations. A lot of times they don't know how to properly assess that patient. You know, if that patient has a chemical imbalance or depression, if they're bipolar, if they have addiction or schizophrenia, whatever the case may be, they're not equipped to really properly assess that patient. So what happens many times is they get put into a bed, and they wait there sometimes for days until they can really get the proper assessment or help that they need. So what this tool does is it's a mobile application, so it really allows anyone working in the emergency room department to really go through a kind of a tiled, if you will, application that's layered but very easy to use. So if it is depression, they hit the block that says depression, and then it asks the next questions to ask, and then they keep kind of working down this tree so that it provides the assessment of the patient. And then it doesn't just stop there. Then what it does is it tells them what actions, calls to action, need to take place with this behavioral health patient. And it has another application that we built called Scheduler. And what Scheduler now does is it looks at the patient prognosis that the assessment tool has provided, and it looks out at our network, and it looks at the patient's healthcare coverage, the responsive time that we need to handle this issue, and the right people that are available to handle it in that time frame, and it matches the patient up with the right provider and immediately sets up an appointment for them to see that person or for that person to come see them, depending on the situation. So it really, you know, provides the whole 360-degree need that these emergency rooms, you know, need to be able to address the increasing behavioral health challenge that we see as a country. You know, they've rolled this out not just within their network now, but within other hospitals, and the responses it's overwhelming to the tune of, you know, over 20% reduction they're seeing in admissions. And the speed of being able to, you know, increasing the speed to handle a behavioral health patient scenario by tenfold, that frees up, you know, the rest of the, you know, the bottleneck that occurs in emergency rooms. So not only does it help the behavioral health patient, but all the other patients, you know, the mom who's got the son with the broken wrist, right, that's behind this patient. So you know, kind of my philosophy is, and tell me when to be quiet, Fran. Otherwise, I just keep talking, okay? So
you keep going.
So, because I didn't grow up in the healthcare industry, but in the last several years, I love it because we're helping people, right? But the big thing around this is it not only helps that behavioral health patient, but it frees, again, you know, up the rest of the flow. And I always look at the emergency room as kind of the front door to the hospital. You know, if I have, and I have five children, so trust me, I've been in emergency rooms, so I can tell you which ones I had a good experience and which ones I had a bad experience. And the ones I had a good experience, guess what? Those are the ones I go back to. And those are the Fairview, actually, emergency rooms. So it is the front door to the hospital. If I go to your emergency room and I have a great experience, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back, you know, when my daughter needs tonsils. I'm going to go back, you know, whatever the case may be. And I also think the back door is the labor and delivery room, which we talked about earlier. So I think that there's, the you know, just delivering and making sure in these emergency rooms that we have this behavioral health situation handled efficiently and accurately and making sure that we cover ourselves from a liability perspective, I think is critical. I mean, we've seen a lot of news stories about somebody that's not assessed properly and something very bad happens. And we want to avoid those situations.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think your organization, ABTECH in particular, realizes that patients can't have good health without addressing mental health. And, you know,
right.
Although face-to-face encounters are still going to be the core of psychiatry, sometimes it's not suitable or not even affordable. So those barriers of cost, time, transportation, all of those things, I'm optimistic that the benefits of this technology will really help us benefit in psychiatry. You know, I read another interesting statistic, and I think everybody knows this one, so it's nothing new. The U.S. spends more per capita on healthcare than any other country, and yet it's consistently rated amongst the worst of developed nations. And, you know, the biggest discrepancy that I saw in the reports that I've been reading is that it fails mostly in investment in IT for healthcare. You know, healthcare is one of those fields where tech investments haven't necessarily resulted in lower prices. And unfortunately, people are declining medical attention because of cost. You know, I know that big data and predictive analysis will significantly improve healthcare, but the question for you is, can technology save healthcare?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to play a role. I think there's several things that need to occur, but I think technology plays a critical role. I mean, if you look at the trends and you look at what's needed to drive efficiency in healthcare, you know, from the insurer's side, really, you know, that's where a big push is going to be as well, to keep, you know, costs down and to provide affordable health across our country. So, you know, if you look at the stats, I think in 2013 I saw a statistic that, you know, video consultation in healthcare was, you know, less than a million dollar industry, and now it's, you know, predicted to be in multi-billions in the next 2 years. So there's ways that we can really make healthcare more efficient and provide a better patient experience, you know, through technology. And I think the healthcare, you said it early, Fran, I think the healthcare industry is behind. If I look at the things that we're doing for, you know, other organizations, like just say the retail industry, and the way a 19-year-old, you know, orders and interacts with a company to do commerce, and then they go from that to, you know, how I interact with this hospital because I have this situation. It's like, what's going on? And patients are customers. I mean, they're going to judge the hospital by the last best experience they had. Why should I have such a great experience with Apple and have such a terrible experience with ABC Hospital? So there's catch up there, and I think technology can really play a really critical role in the patient experience and driving efficiency in healthcare. And quite frankly, it's the way patients want to interact. It's more and more now. The tool we built with behavioral healthcare providers, it's a tool that's used face-to-face or can be used remote. You know, it provides that flexibility because face-to-face is still a critical channel when we talk about that, you know, omni-channel experience. And that whole omni-channel experience has been adopted by most every other industry except for healthcare. And now it's time for healthcare to really adopt it. No matter what channel I interact with you, I not only want you to provide it, but I want a seamless experience, and I want it to be the same experience, and I want you to know about it and know me and know who I am and treat me appropriately. So that leads to the next big thing that we're working on, and that's developing middleware to, you know, the EMR and EHR players. You know, they've been very popular in healthcare, let's just say, and we talk to healthcare organizations that have spent millions of dollars on these platforms and these technologies, but our perspective is they're not really leveraging or optimizing them the way they could based on what we see, you know, across industries. And so we're working on developing what we call middleware, and what middleware is, it's a way that we can integrate or access information, of course, in a privacy, patient privacy model, but we can access, because a lot of these Epics and Cerners, a lot of them are very closed, but this middleware we're developing allows us to access this information to really open up how we can really interact with patients and provide what I call premonition interactions, so we kind of know who they are, what their situation is, and how to treat them, or where they should go within the organization, who they should speak to within the hospital community. And some of these healthcare organizations have hundreds of clinics and, you know, dozen hospitals, and, you know, we want, you know, one call access to be able to really facilitate the patient experience and have that information about the patient so that we can make decisions in regards to what should be done or how they should be helped. So, you know, I tell a story. Oh, go ahead.
You know, I just wanted to just point out, I absolutely agree with you. The EMR is only as good as its availability. I mean,
you know,
all of the benefits, they're only possible if the information is in an open network and everyone with permission has, you know, unfettered access. I mean, this is so critical. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, we are. You know, we have actually two customers right now, Aurora Healthcare, which, by the way, just a very, you know, again, a very progressive, you know, they have this philosophy of this one Aurora for the patient. And so we've been working with them to help, you know, them realize their vision, you know, taking a dozen contact center pockets and really centralizing it into one patient experience center. And working with them to leverage and optimize their investment in their EHR to really facilitate a better experience for a patient. You know, an example I give is, I'm not going to name the healthcare organization, but my wife recently had an angiogram, and she was worried, we were worried, that we had just very slight bleeding. But we called in and to that same healthcare organization, the number that we had, and we were actually transferred twice, and then had to wait for the right person to be tracked down to address our concern. And so when that happens, that makes me just cringe. You know, when I call into a hospital, I want them to say, aha, you know, this is George DeMue. He had this procedure, you know, and he's calling within 12 hours. My anticipation is that he has an issue with either bleeding, swelling, or there's a challenge. And I know that he actually talked to or interacted with this person last, or he should talk to this person that has the skill in angiograms to deal with that issue. And bam, there they are, talking to me live. And they have my record in front of them, and they can really begin to triage me quickly and get down to my issue. That's what I want to see happen, and that's what we can accomplish with this middleware that I'm talking about.
Yeah, I always think that technology plays that central role, even for healthcare reform. It's not just about containing costs, but it's really, for me, it's about improving access and saving lives. You know, mm-hmm. George, we're approaching the end of our time. Our time has gone very quickly, and I've really enjoyed our conversation. But do you have any final thoughts for our audience?
No, I mean, my big point is, you know, companies have a vision, or they have had a vision, and we've made help it, you know, it become reality, and we want to share that. We want that art of the possible to be shared across the industry, and for everyone to leverage and provide for a better experience for the patient.
Well, thank you very much, George. I do appreciate your time today. You know, to just kind of sum it up, I think there are great technologies out there, and there needs to be more research, adoption, and design of these technologies, not only to help all patients, but specifically, for me, it's our most vulnerable patients, those with mental illness, patients with low English proficiency, and, you know, who have limited access to cultural and language resources. I think using, you know, technology can really address the physical barriers and the cost of replicating and providing, you know, these services. And again, I thank George for joining us. This will conclude our call for today and our show for today. But there's always more to be found on our website at singolaconsulting.com. And as always, tweet at us at Singola, C-O-N-S-L-T, if you'd like to continue the conversation. And we'll talk with you again soon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at SingolaConsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.